Good morning, everyone. It's a great joy to worship together with you all here, and it's a great blessing to serve together with Pastor Chen Wei, Pastor Glenn, and Pastor Andy, and so many faithful brothers and sisters here. First, I want to share a story with you. There was a farmer who made a living by selling livestock and poultry, but after a long time, he still couldn't sell them. He prayed to God and said, "If I can sell both my chickens and cows, I will offer all the money I get from selling cows to the church." His price tag was that $1 for a chicken, $100 for a cow, $100 for a chicken, $100 for a cow. So soon after he made this prayer, a man came to him and want to buy his chicken and cow. This man want to buy one chicken and one cow, and he was going to pay $101 to the farmer. This farmer thought, if I'm going to keep my promise, I will only get $1 for myself, and I need to pay $100 to the church. So he changed his mind and told the man, "I have changed my price, $100 for a chicken, 1 cent for a cow, but you need to buy them both." Then the man thought for a minute and decided to buy it, because according to the original price, he need to pay $101, but now he only need to pay 101 cent. Now he can say 99 cents. So he thought, and then he paid 101 cent to the farmer. And then this farmer, very happy, get the money and went home and offered the 1 cent to the church and to God according to his promise. He totally fulfilled his promise to the God. He offered the 1 cent to the church. 4 days later will be Thanksgiving. What spiritual reminders should Thanksgiving bring to us? The Bible says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Thanksgiving and God's word remind us that we should be grateful and always be grateful. A grateful heart is not only a mindset, but also brings action. Today we will share the marriage offering, and let's stand and read God's word together. John chapter 12, 1 to 3. 6 days before the Passover. Can you get the Bible? John chapter 12, 1 to 8. Verse 1 first, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner to him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with his hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who he was about to betray him, said, "Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. You have deliver us, our soul from death, and our eyes from tears, our feet from stumbling. You have redeemed our life from the pit. You have crowned us with steadfast love and mercy. We praise you. May you bless the preaching and listening of your word, so that we may know you more and love you more. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The topic we are going to share today is Mary's offering. Mary's offering is a grateful offering, a complete offering, and a timely offering. Let's first share point one and two. A grateful offering, a complete offering. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. According to Matthew and Mark, Jesus was a guest at the house of Simon the leper. Leprosy was a very serious infectious disease at that time, and there was no medicine to treat it. Leper had to be isolated from others, but here Simon hosts a dinner for Jesus and many people. We can tell that Simon used to have leprosy, but Jesus had healed him at some point. This is the most reasonable inference. Therefore, Simon, who was cured of leprosy, prepare a feast for Jesus with a grateful heart. Verses 2 say, Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Martha was a hardworking sister. Now Jesus was here, so Martha did her best to help her to prepare for Jesus and for everyone a good meal. The Bible does not tell us what Lazarus was talking or doing. The Bible only tells us that Lazarus was one of those reclining with Jesus at table. Lazarus didn't need to talk anything or do anything. His gratitude was the best worship, and his presence was the best witness for Jesus. Now let's shift our gaze to Mary. Verses 3. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her head. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. According to Matthew and Mark, Mary poured the ointment on Jesus' head. But the Gospel of John says that Mary anointed Jesus' head with anointment. The Bible does not contradict each other, so we can tell that Mary poured ointment both on Jesus' head and his feet, and she wiped her feet with her head. In order to understand this story, let us attempt to reconstruct what took place in the event. It was evening time in a village called Bethany. Jesus and his 12 disciples had just arrived at the home of Simon the leper for a special supper. Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, was there. Jesus was a very close friend to this family, and Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead not too long ago. Well, Lazarus was now alive and well, and he was about to enjoy a good meal with Jesus. Martha was busy, shuttling back and forth between the kitchen and the dining table, loading the dining table with food and drinks. Warm fellowship and lively conversation was filled the room. And then, as the meal is just about to begin, Mary comes quietly into the room. She is carrying with great care a sealed flask made of alabaster, and she goes directly to where Jesus is seated. When she breaks the narrow neck of the flask to open it, all the heads turn to see where the breaking sound came from, and silence fills the room. And now Mary pour out the contents of the flask. They see a clear amber-colored liquid flowing upon Jesus' head, running down to his beard and to the skirt of his garment. Mary lifted the alabaster bottle again, poured the ointment on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her head. Then the whole room was filled with the fragrance of the pure nard. This was not a little bottle of ordinary ointment, but it is a powder of expensive ointment, pure nard ointment made from pure nard. Pure nard was one of the most costly perfume available at that time. It had to be purchased from merchandise who had sailed all the way from India. This exquisite perfume was made by distilling the dry root of the Jatamasi plant that grow high up on the slope of the Himalaya mountains. Because of the dangerous terrain and the climate up there, the root could only be harvested during the months of October to December, and a large amount of the root could only produce 3% of perfume after about 18 hours of distillation. Seeing Mary pour this bottle of extreme expensive pure nard into Jesus' head and feet, the disciples was very surprised, and a few people there was very unhappy. Mark chapter 14 says like this: there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the anointment wasted like that? For this anointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scold her. According to the Gospel of John, it was Judah who spoke up. Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? 300 denarii is about 1 year's salary for a worker at that time. I don't know what is your annual salary is. Let me just guess, or let me just say, our average salary is like $50,000 a year, maybe higher, maybe lower, $50,000 for a year. So for Mary, it is just like pouring a bottle of $50,000 of perfume onto Jesus' head and feet. Not only that, this bottle of anointment may have a very special meaning for Mary. This bottle of anointment is like Mary's harem, and it is also likely to be the dowry prepared by her parents for her. So what prompted Mary to pour completely such an expensive bottle of anointment onto Jesus? First, a grateful heart. First, a grateful heart. When Lazarus was seriously ill, if you ask Mary, how much would you be willing to pay to make your brother well? I believe she will answer, I am willing to pay a lot to make my brother well. When Lazarus died, if you ask Mary, how much will you be willing to pay to bring your brother come back to life? I believe her answer is, I am willing to pay everything to bring my brother back to life. Now then, Jesus has brought her brother back to life. How can Mary not be grateful? Mary was so grateful that she poured the whole bottle of 1 pound of pure nard onto Jesus' head and his feet, and wipe his feet with her own hair. Why did she use her hair to wipe Jesus' feet? Had she forgotten to bring a towel and had to use her hair? Not likely. I think it is more likely that she deliberately used her hair to do this, because a woman's hair is a symbol of her glory, and Mary would most willingly lay down her glory at the feet of Jesus. Mary's action demonstrates her humility before Jesus and her complete commitment to him. I don't have the habit of wearing perfume, but I imagine that people will just spray a few times when they wear perfume. Maybe it is less than half a milliliter, or at most it is only 1 or 2 millimeters. Pure nard ointment is extremely rich and fragrant. Why did Mary use a whole bottle, a whole pile of perfume, pure nard, pouring onto Jesus' body? Because Mary's offering is not only a grateful offering, but also a complete offering. Mary's offering, it is not only a grateful offering, a complete offering, but also a timely offering, a timely offering. It's also a timely offering. Why we said that Mary's offering is a timely offering? We must consider when Mary anointed Jesus. It was 6 days before the Passover. The Passover is one of the three major festivals for the Jewish people every year. It commemorates the time when the Lord God struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians in Egypt, passing over the house of the Israelites, over the houses with lamb blood painted on their doors, and saving all the Israelites. The Lord commanded Israel to keep this Passover, to keep the Passover as a feast, as a statue forever. Exodus tells us the origin and significance of the Passover. When the Lord saved Israel from Egypt, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill dead lambs at twilight. Then they shall take one of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh at night, roasted on the fire. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it. In this manner you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute my judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statue forever. You shall keep it as a feast." The Israel obeyed the word of God, and every household took some of the blood of lamb and put it on the two doorposts and lintel of their houses. On the 14th day of the first month, when the time of God came, the angel of destruction came to Egypt and went into every household to strike down their firstborn. But when the angel of destruction came to the gates of Israel and saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel, he passed over this house, passed over their house. On that night, the firstborn of every Egyptian died, and every Israel was saved, because the angel who destroyed the firstborn saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and lintel of their houses and passed over. This is the origin of the Passover. Why must the Passover lamb be without blemish and a male a year old? A one-year-old lamb is a lamb in its prime. The Passover lamb must be a one-year-old male lamb without blemish, symbolize that Jesus will shed his blood and lay down his innocent life for us in his youth and prime. Why the Passover lambs should not be eaten, Lord, or boiled in heaven, in water? Why must the Passover lamb be roasted over fire to eat? This signifies that Jesus would replace us in the punishment of the fire of hell. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, and he would soon come to Jerusalem for the Passover and would offer himself as the Passover lamb for our sin. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive anointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. But Judah, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" That sounds very reasonable. Why do you use a bottle of $50,000 anointment all at once? Don't you know many people have no food to eat? Don't you know we need to care for the poor? Don't you know we need to spend money to support the missionaries? If you sell this bottle of anointment and use that $50,000 to help the poor and to support the missionaries, how many poor people can be helped, and how many more missionaries can be helped, and how many more people can hear the gospel? Do you know how many pork tendon and how many beef tendon you can buy with $50,000? You can use $50,000 to buy a lot of pork tendons and beef tendons and to cook for Pastor Chen Wei. And his left feet tendon can be recovered very fast. Why do you use a bottle of pure nard ointment all at once? How can you waste money like that? This sounds very reasonable, but his motivation is not right. Dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us. Sometimes we say something sounds very nice, very good, very spiritual. But if our motivation are not right or impure, God knows, and people will know it sooner or later. May the Lord help us to maintain a pure heart and a clean conscience in the presence of our God. Judah said, "Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" At that time, none of the disciples knew that Jesus' motive was impure, and even a few disciples felt that what Judah had said was very reasonable. But later, all the disciples know that Judah had a big problem because he betrayed Jesus soon after his nice word. Later, when John wrote the Gospel of John, he put it like this. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. facing Judas' questioning and reproach, as well as several disciples' reproaching glances, Mary remained silent and did not say a word. Mary didn't say anything. Mary didn't speak, but our Lord Jesus spoke for her. Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the pool you always have with you, but you do not always have me." At this moment, Passover is only 6 days away. 6 days later, Jesus would die for the sinners and be crucified on the cross and become the true Passover lamb. Mary often sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to him. Mary knew Jesus very well. Now Jesus has resurrected his brother Lazarus. He has enough reason to believe that. We have enough reason to believe. Mary knew very well that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah who came to the world to rescue us. And he is the Savior who will give us eternal life. Because Mary knew Jesus is Lord, Mary brought the alabaster flask and poured 1 pound of extreme expensive pure nard ointment onto Jesus' head and feet and anointed him with her head. This was only 6 days before Jesus' crucifixion. This was a very timely offering. If Mary missed this opportunity, he would never have such a chance again. Judas said, "Why was the anointment wasted like that? For this anointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want. You can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Mary's offering is a grateful offering, a complete offering, and a timely offering. Although many people do not understand and even criticize and attack her, Mary's offering is pleasing to the Lord. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Dear brothers and sisters, what can we learn from Mary's offering? What can we learn from Mary's offering? First, the alabaster flask which was broken speaks to us of Jesus himself. Just as the flask of pure nard was a very costly gift that was not poured out in vain, the life of our Lord Jesus was God's most costly gift, which was not sacrificed in vain. And just as the fragrance of the pure nard could only fill the room when it was broken and poured out, the sweet blessing of salvation could only fill the earth when Jesus was crucified and his blood was poured out for our sins. Number two, the more we know God, the more we are willing to offer. The more we know God, the more we are willing to offer. Why could Mary make such a great offering? Because she deeply knew the Lord. She often sat quietly at Jesus' feet, listening to him. I thank God that most of us are willing to offer. Most of us are willing to offer. But we need to confess that quite often our offerings are not complete because we lack a deep understanding of God. May the Lord help us crave God's word so that we may have a deep understanding of God. As our understanding of God deepens, we will be more willing to offer to God. Number three, what God values is our sincere love. What God values is our sincere love. Mary's offering is certainly extremely expensive, but dear brothers and sisters, don't forget, there was once a poor widow who offered only two small coins and also received praise from our Lord Jesus. Because God values our sincere love, no matter more or less, God values our sincere love. Number four, we need to examine whether our offering is grateful, complete, and timely. We need to examine whether our offering is grateful, complete, and timely. If we offer to God in order to get more blessing from God, God is not happy with such offering. If we offer to God just because we are grateful, God is pleased with our offering. The more grateful we are to God, the more complete our offering to Him becomes. The more grateful we are to God, the more timely our offering to Him becomes. I would like to share a story with you here. Sister A is always very busy, as a lot of us, we are very busy, right? Sister A is very busy. And she always said, I am too busy to participate in mission, in ministry. I'm too busy to serve right now. After I retire, I will fully offer myself to the Lord and I will serve Him full time. Her good friend, Sister B, so always encouraged her. You always say that you will serve the Lord in the future, but in fact, you should catch any opportunity now to serve the Lord. Don't wait in the future. But Sister A don't think so. So Sister A, I will serve later. But one day, and then Sister A, she fell ill and went to the hospital. So her good friend, Sister B, bought a bouquet of flowers, and was going to visit her in the hospital. But she changed her mind and took the flowers home and put the flowers to the outside under the sun for 3 days. And then 3 days later, and then she took the bouquet of withered flowers to the hospital and visited Sister A. Seeing this bouquet of withered flowers, Sister A asked, Why do you send this flower to me? What do you mean by sending me a bouquet of withered flowers? Sister B answered, I was intended to send you this bouquet of flowers 3 days ago, but I have a touch in my heart to take these flowers home and put them under the sun for 3 days and give them to you now. Do you feel, is there any difference between the serving the Lord now and serving the Lord in the long, 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 long future? Dear brothers and sisters, please do not misunderstand me and think that I take the service of the service to the Lord after retirement withered flowers. This is not what I mean. I don't think so. Many brothers and sisters are in good health after they retired, and they have better service after retirement. After Moses was 80 years old, God called him to do the most important work. Thank God and praise God. Dear brothers and sisters, all opportunities are in our time. If we don't put God first in our life, we will spend our time on many things that we think are important, but we will miss many, many things that God thinks are important. If we don't prioritize God in our lives, we will miss our many opportunities that God has given us. Dear brothers and sisters, each of us have our most precious peanut ointment. Maybe it is your time, maybe it's your money, maybe it's your comfortable life. Maybe it's other costs you need to pay in your service. The question is, are we willing to offer this bottle of peanut ointment, this bottle of most precious ointment to the Lord? Are you willing? I hope we are all willing. May our offering just be like Mary's offering. It's a grateful offering, a complete offering, and a timely offering. May the Lord bless us all. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you have laid down your life and died for us on the cross to pay the penalty for us and prepare the salvation for us. Help us to better understand your love so that we can love you more. Help us to love you more and more so that whenever we serve you, whenever we give to you, our offering will be just like Mary's offering. It's a grateful offering, a complete offering, and a timely offering. May you use our lives, and may your name be glorified. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.